Thank you. Good day, friends. And as we have been studying this book of Matthew, these first few chapters, I have wondered just how far you're going along with me. What I'm trying to do is this, and if I may be realistic about it, I'm trying to give you, first of all, what I believe is the exposition of the book according to the argument of the book, and yet at the same time, I want to bring out lessons that you and I can learn as we go along in the book of Matthew. Remember that spiritual truth doesn't change. Circumstances around us may change. We may change. But the truth doesn't change. And it's true that we have here in the chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, the inaugural address of the king, where he has given to us in the first 9 verses the character of the citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And then we took up the opposition to those citizens, which gives to us some truth for us today, which we were studying not too long ago in 1st and 2nd Peter. Now, starting in at verse 13 and running down to verse 16, we have the responsibility of the citizens. Now, let me repeat it. In the first 9 verses, we have the character, or a little more explicit, verses 3 to 9, we have the character of the citizens. What are his people like in the kingdom? It's a revelation of what they are, not what they do. And then in verses 10 to 12, we have the opposition to the citizens, and the opposition is twofold. We are opposed for righteousness' sake, and we're opposed for Christ's sake. Now, in verses 13 to 16, the responsibility of these citizens. Oh, we have here the action and character of those who take part with the rejected Messiah now. This is true today, as it will be, of course, in the kingdom. And I believe it gives to us something of what the believer, his responsibility is today, even now, wherever you live. Although I believe it's also carried on through into the kingdom. Listen to it. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now here we have the responsibility of the citizens. It's very, very simple, and yet, may I carry it through? We have it in the other Gospels where he's dealing with the kingdom of God. We find it also through the epistles. The moment I become a child of God, or as I love to put it, a child of one who is God, still living in a world that is lawless and sinful, where death reigns and where corruption is rampant, I have a responsibility. Why do you think God leaves us down here? To hold back the forces of hell. To hold back the forces of sin. My Christian friend, right where you are, right where you live, you have a very, very grave responsibility. First of all, you are the salt of the earth. Now, the salt is a preservative principle. You and I well know that. And if the believers were not in the world today, I wouldn't want to be on the earth. In fact, there's a time coming when God is going to take his children from this world. He's going to take us all to be with himself. The world will be without the church of Christ. The salt will be taken away. And the lawless one, the man of sin, will be revealed. A man who is dominated by sin, and he is going to rule men. He's going to rule kingdoms. Who? The lawless one. But not today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Then will that wicked one be revealed. Who? The Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And when the Spirit of God takes the church from this scene, My friend, I do not want to be on the earth for 1 minute. Men are going to be absolutely free, nothing to stop them doing what they want to do. They want to do it now. Believe me, things are moving so fast. Men want to do it now. They're trying to make laws now to permit moral corruption to be on the throne. Listen to it. You, believers, you are the salt of the earth. That's true in the kingdom. It's true in any time. As long as God's people are on the earth, they are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has no longer any savor, it's no good. It can't do the job it wants to do. It is therefore, henceforth, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The appeal of our Savior here is that we should be salt that is active. Salt that has savor. That's why you salt your food. Gives you flavor. That's why salt is good for infection. It stings all right, but it's against infection. You and I, Christian friend, are living in this world. And if every Christian on the earth refuses to walk with God and do the job he's supposed to do, I wouldn't want to live in the earth either, because when the salt is lost, its savor, it's no good. And God has left you and me down here with a responsible job. We are salt. We're holding back the forces of corruption, the forces of sin. Now, don't start and get introspective and say, well, I guess I don't have much savor. You don't know. You don't know. And don't judge anybody else, my friend. You don't know. The Spirit of God takes us believers. And by one way or another, he leaves us on earth. What for? That we might hold back the forces of corruption. Our very lives, our very attitude, our very motives, our very words we speak, just the way we live, affects a whole neighborhood, affects a whole city. If all the Christians in this city where you live were to really, really walk before God, it'll be a transformed city. It'll hold back the forces of evil. And it's because the church is beginning to lose its testimony that we see these other things begin to take hold today. Now mark the second thing. In verses 14 to 16, especially 14 and 15, you, believers, are the light of the world. A city, now he gives us two illustrations. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. You are the light of the world, and just as a city on a hill cannot be hid, you and I should not be hid. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you go, we ought to be shining for God, shining lights in a dark place. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not a very big light. Well, listen. You know, here I am in a room now, and it's daylight, and the lights are on, but you don't think about the lights because it's in the daytime. But supposing I came into this room tonight at midnight and struck a match. I can't see all these things around me in the nighttime, but let me strike a match. Just one little wee match. And you see the whole room, just one little match. What is the purpose of light? To dispel darkness. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm the least of God's people. All right. And I don't care how dark it is around you. If you're the weakest of God's children, you walk before God, you're shining just like a match shines in a dark place. You can't get away from it. Your actions, your attitudes, your motives, your words, the way you meet people and greet people and live among people. You're the light set upon a hill, like a city set upon a hill. Can't be hid. You can't get away from it, friend. You can't get away from it. Wherever you go, God's put you where you are. I know I've had young people say, my, if I were only in Africa, if I were only in South America, my, how I would shine for the Lord. Oh, no, God's put you where you are. I were only in another job, if I worked in another plant, no, God's put you where you are. But I'm the only man in the shop who stands for Christ. That's why he's got you there. If you were in a shop where they were all Christians, you wouldn't shine so much. So he puts you in a shop where there are no other Christians, in the dark. What for? So you can shine. You're like a city set upon a hill which can't be hid. And friend, if you love the Savior, you just shine. You just shine. And the darker the circumstances, the more you shine. Don't forget, the work of light is to dispel darkness. Take the next verse. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. So it lights up the whole house. Now, a bushel, you know, a bushel is a sign of commerce, if I can use this as an illustration. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. I remember some years ago, I had a meeting every Monday morning in a plant in the city of Dallas, Texas. I met with about 35 or 40 of the staff of this company, salesmen and what have you. And I went to talk to one of the men about the Savior. And he said, I don't like this situation. He said, I don't mind a man being religious, but he ought to keep it out of his business. And the boss was standing right alongside the man who owned the plant. And he said, if I can't bring Jesus Christ into my business, then I'm not much of a man. I'm not much of a Christian. The Savior I have lives with me 7 days a week. And I want to talk for him and live for him 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. And if I can't take Jesus Christ into my business, then the business will have to go. I thank God for such a man. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. And how many men, I say this sadly, how many professing Christians today are hiding their testimony of the Savior behind their business? I don't mind going to church on Sunday. I go to Sunday school and morning meeting. I even go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. But down in the office, down in the shop, in the plant, wherever I go, Oh, no. I go to church on Sunday. I sing the songs of Zion on Sunday, and I like to hear the Bible preached on Sunday. But through the week, business is business. My friend, you're not much of a Christian. That's your attitude. If you can't take the Savior into your business, you better examine one of two things. Either examine your own heart or examine the business you're in. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick. So it giveth light into all the house. Sure. Purpose of light, to dispel darkness. Let your light so shine before men. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, not glorify you. Don't do your good works so men will glorify you. Not so that men will pat you on the back and say, my, you're a good fellow. You're a good Christian. My, I tell you, you're a good Christian. No. Let your light so shine before men, so shine out for the glory of Christ, that when men see how you live, when men see your compassion and your tenderness, I'll even go farther, when men see the manifestation of the character of Jesus Christ in and through you, they will glorify God. They will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, if I can give you another passage of Scripture. In John chapter 9, about the 5th verse, our Lord said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he went back to heaven. He's no longer in the world in the flesh. He went back to heaven. Now mark what he said. In chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Our Lord shone as the light of the world. Ah, you say, but he was the Son of God. That's right. In chapter 9, verse 5, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But he's gone. He's gone home to glory. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. We are to shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. In fact, that whole passage says, you are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. As long as I am in the world, said Jesus, I am the light of the world. And if men need a light today, where are they going to find it? In God's people. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, John the Baptist said, I am not that light. I am come to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Speaking of our Savior. Now our Lord says, I am the light of the world. As long as I am with you, I am the light of the world. But he left us. And now he's got to shine through you and me. Tell me, my Christian friend, why does the Spirit of God indwell you? You say, does he? Yes, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ Jesus is living in every believer. What for? To manifest through that believer the very character and the very heart of God. You are the light of the world. We are to shine as lights, to dispel darkness. That's what I said a while ago. Once the light of the world is gone, once that the believer in Christ is gone, there'd be no light. And how great is their darkness. Oh, listen, friend. The darkness in Africa is because of ignorance. The darkness in America is because of rejected light. And how dark and how great is that darkness. All the more reason for you and me to shine as lights. The more I see the world going on in its sin and corruption, the more I believe God wants you and me to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Let your light so shine before men today that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And may the Lord grant this to you today. Father, grant this to every one of our hearts, that we may shine today. So walk before thee in that fellowship, in that intimacy of fellowship and relationship, that the Spirit of God will find us usable to shine as lights in a dark world until the Lord Jesus comes. Oh, fill thy people with joy and gladness today, even in the midst of a world of suffering and shame. We'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.